Good evening. Thank you for joining us as we continue our Lenten reflection, as we continue as well with the theme of the Ten Commandments. Last week, Ash Wednesday, you heard actually the close of the commandments, and Pastor Bob reflecting on that, and on Sunday, we covered the opening of the commandments. And so now, of course, we finally get to the first commandment, and we'll cover the second on Sunday. But we are going to be reflecting on tonight, "You shall have no other gods before me." But I might just stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering whose we are, and beginning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our prayer for this evening is a reflection on Psalm 95, or rather a adaptation is the right word of Psalm 95. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For you are a great God and a great King above all gods. In your hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to you. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For you are our God, and we are your people, the people of your pasture, the flock under your care. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me. And so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better." Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of Christ, announce the grace of God in each and every one of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to have a Passion reading, and this year we are looking at Luke's Gospel for the time of Jesus' Passion, the night of his betrayal through his death. And so from Luke chapter 22. "Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare for it?' they asked. And he replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there.' They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. As I mentioned before, we are reflecting upon the Ten Commandments this Lenten season, and so our reading for what the sermon text is quite short, but enjoy. "You shall have no other gods before me." There you go. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How good is life when you are living in the blessings of God? How good is life when your car works and you get from point A to point B without any problems whatsoever? How good is life when your health is in full bloom and you feel no aches or pains? How good is life when you have everything that you need to pay your bills and you never find yourself in wanting? How good is life when all of your relationships are going well and there's no points of tension or disorder whatsoever? But sometimes that's not how it is. Sometimes the car breaks down as you're going on your way, and you take it to the shop and you'll be without it for a few days, and oh, also you'll get it back after paying a nice hefty fee. And maybe then your finances are not so easily in order. And your body makes some more creaks and aches a bit more than you would like. And your relationships are, well, not all hunky-dory. Not nice and peaceful at all times. What then? What then is your perspective on your relationship with your God? For the past half year, I've had an interesting experience that I admittedly never expected. Perhaps that was my own pride. I have been the victim of identity theft. Back in July, I came to discover that someone had taken out a loan using my social security number and my name, and thankfully it was a small loan, but I went to the entity who gave out the loan and very quickly said, "Hey, this is not me. I didn't do this." And I thought it would end there. They're like, "Oh no, you have to call this number to, you know, declare fraud, and you have to go get a police report." Okay, could do that. So I did all that, and I called the entity, and I thought it was taken care of. But then I kept getting calls from this loan entity saying, "Oh, you owe us money." No, I don't. And on it went. And then finally, I was told, "Okay, we won't disturb you anymore. It'll all get taken care of. You did what you're supposed to do." And then yesterday, I got a phone call from a collection agency saying that you owe money. And again, thankfully, they believed my story. But I wish I could say that yesterday, after receiving this news, after what I thought was already laid to rest, I thought, okay, now it's all going to be fine. I wish I could say, you know what, God's got this taken care of, because he does. But admittedly, that was not my perspective yesterday. No, admittedly, I'm not proud to say that I spent the better portion, more than half of my day, frustrated and stressed out. I spent the day so angry that this had happened. Even though, admittedly, it didn't hurt my credit. It actually negatively impacted me very little. Just took time, emotional energy. And yet I was frustrated, and I could not dislodge this from being the very focus of my mind. Now, don't get me wrong. I see nothing wrong with experiencing and expressing the emotion of frustration when appropriate. But as I reflect upon yesterday, what I realize is that I allowed this thing that has occurred to occupy majority of my thoughts for a majority of the day. And in truth, in realizing this, my God had crumbled. Now, don't hear me wrong. I am not saying the triune God crumbled. Absolutely not. But the truth of it is that my perceptions, my idea that everything should just work out well, that I shouldn't have to experience these things, and my stress because I'm experiencing all that, to be honest, really, me in that moment was my God. Because I was so frustrated what I was experiencing and felt like I shouldn't have to experience this. I'm an intelligent individual after all, and therefore I should never have been a victim of identity theft in the first place. But the truth of the matter is that I was not actually fearing, loving, and trusting in the triune God above all things. Instead, I was putting myself, my experience, this minor frustration at the forefront of my mind. And it impacted how I worked, it impacted how I interacted with my family and coworkers. It shaped me more than it should have. And I'm using this experience to try to communicate to you, in case any of this is resonating, that the truth is that any false god does that. Any false god, an entity, a being, a thing, stuff that you fear or you love or you trust in more than the true God, will shape you. It will shape your perspectives. It'll shape your life. And the longer that it goes on, the more it will shape who you are. As opposed to what our God, who has created us, our God who provides for us, our God who has redeemed us, and our God who sanctifies us, would have us be. For our triune God says he is the one for whom we should trust and love and fear in above all things. And in doing that, we are made in accordance to his will as he shapes us by the work of his Spirit. But it's a difficult thing because there's so much at odds with our Creator. There's our own sinful flesh that is an active rebellion that says, put yourself first or else no one else will, certainly. So if you want your needs to be taken care of, you had better put yourself first and do what needs to be done. There's a whole world that communicates about the same. No one's going to look out for you. Pick yourself up. Make it happen. And there's the devil and his minions, who also like to whisper lies into your ear and say, you can't trust God. But you want to know what's wonderful and amazing? What's absolutely astounding, actually, is that the triune God who has made everything doesn't just leave us to our own destruction. Because in our sin, we would go on our own wayward way, far, far away from our God. And he doesn't just say, okay, bye. Don't let the door hit you on your way out. He comes following after you. Right there, every step of the way, never ceasing to pursue you. Everything else that you try to put in the spot of God as the thing that you fear, love, or trust in more than anything else will crumble and fall and will not hold up because it can't. And yet the God of the universe, he holds up. He holds you. He says, I know what you're going through, and I'm here with you. I know it's unpleasant, but understand that right now, what you are facing is temporary. But believe me when I say, a day is coming when there will be no more weeping and no more tears and no more pain. There will be no more suffering, for the former things have passed away. The one who created all things, who has reconciled all things to himself, loves you. So when you find yourself, as I was admittedly yesterday, focused on all the wrong things, the best thing to do then is confess. To admit and say, God, I am sorry. I have failed. I have put myself first. I have put other people first. I have put other stuff first before the relationship with you that you call me to have. Will you forgive me? And the astounding thing is he does. Time and time and time again, he does. This is the God who is the only entity worthy of the title. This is the one who calls you and says, don't have anything else above me because it will not last, but I will last with you. Fear, love, and trust in me above all things, the Almighty says, and you shall have life. Put your trust in the true God. Amen. Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today grateful of the many ways that you pour blessings into our lives. Help us to recognize them for what they are. Help us in times of trial, times of difficulty, to look as well to you, trusting you for our daily bread. We thank you that you have redeemed us, though we did not deserve it. We pray that each day we would live as a reflection of that salvation which you have granted us. Lord, we thank you that you have sent your Spirit that we might know of your truth, know of your love, know of what you have done for us. I pray that we would live in accordance with how your Spirit guides us. All these things we pray in your Son's holy precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us once again this evening. I pray you have a lovely rest of your night and a blessed rest of your week. God be with you.